Support for podcasts of Medical Monday comes from the hospitals of HealthQuest and HealthQuest Medical Practice, physicians offering primary and specialty health care in private office settings throughout the Hudson Valley. 1-888-525-HQMP or 4767 for appointments.
Hello, everybody. Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Monday, January 7th. I'm Alan Shartok. Underwriting support for the Medical Monday comes from Saratoga Hospital, thanking the nurses, clinical technicians, and the entire staff at Saratoga Hospital for the care and support they provide Saratoga Hospital, an affiliate of Albany Med, saratogahospital.org. Joining us today is Dr. Jared Goodrich of Berkshire Health Systems, an orthopedic surgeon. He's here to answer your orthopedic and sports medicine questions. Let me tell you right now, if you got a hand issue or a shoulder issue, upper extremity, he's the guy. Today, that's what we're going to be talking about. It's going to be a busy hour, so be sure to get your calls in, 1-800-348-2551. Let me give you that number again. Write it down, 1-800-348-2551. Hello once again, and welcome back to the Vox Pop WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Alan Shartok. Dr. Jared Goodrich of Berkshire Health Systems joins us for Medical Monday, an orthopedic surgeon. He's here to answer your orthopedic and sports medicine questions. Raised in nearby Windsor, Massachusetts, and a graduate of Wacona Regional High School, Dr. Goodrich earned an undergraduate and graduate degree in physical therapy. Is that right? From Northeastern University, followed by his medical degree from Nova Southeastern University in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. While a third-year medical student, he joined the Navy, completing his residency at the Navy Medical Center in Portsmouth, Virginia, and his four-year military service in Guam. After leaving the Navy, he completed fellowship training in hand and upper extremity surgery at the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center, and which is why, ladies and gentlemen, we want to concentrate today on upper extremity. You can ask any question you want, of course, but we are really interested in hands. A very difficult subject is hands, our hands, and shoulders. So if that's what you got, that's what we'd like to hear from you for. He now practices at Berkshire Orthopedic Associates in Pittsfield, an affiliate of Berkshire Health Systems. Dr. Goodrich, welcome to the Medical Monday.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Well, it's great to have a native with us.
Thank you.
It's terrific to see you. The number to call everybody is 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Now, listen, everybody, listen up. There are going to be a lot of calls. There are already two people on the phone. Get in early and don't get mad at me. Don't be calling me up later and telling me you didn't get in. You know what I mean? So that's it. 1-800-348-2551. Doc, hands are tough, aren't they?
They are. They are very difficult.
Yeah. Why is that? Why is a hand different than, like, your something else?
So it's not as simple as just a tendon that bends the finger or a tendon that extends the finger. It's a fine concert of motion where one small injury can cause a big deficit in the finger. And if the tendons don't move in conjunction, then your hand will not function properly.
Now, remind me what a tendon is.
So a tendon is something that attaches to the muscle and to the bone, and it helps to move a joint.
Right. So you got muscle, mm-hmm. then you got a tendon between them.
Correct.
Well, you know, there are already five people on the phone. That's something else. Actually, there are six on the phone now. Seven. We got seven. You can take up to 10. And you can, by the way, if you want to email us, I don't approve of this too much, but if you want to, you can at voxpop@wamc.org. Okay, we'll go to Robert in Monticello. I can see we got to move here. Robert, you're on.
Yep. Good afternoon. Thanks for taking the call. Okay, so I had shoulder surgery May 29th of this year, and at this point, I'm still not able to lift 10 pounds over my head. I can do it with seven, you know, okay. Struggling a little bit and not being so much range of motion that I could go further back than, let's say, my ear in a vertical position. Is that kind of normal for now?
So let's back up a little bit. Do you mind sharing what the surgery was?
I'm sorry. Let me tell you what I did. Okay, tendon fell off the bone, two screws or three in the bone. It was reattached arthroscopically, and that's really all it was. I mean, It was the most painful thing I've ever been through, by the way.
Sure. So it sounds like you had a rotator cuff repair. Is that your understanding?
Yeah, rotator cuff. I'm sorry.
Okay, so you had a rotator cuff repair. And the rehab and recovery of that can be very difficult. You can tear anywhere from 1 to 4 muscles of the rotator cuff. So depending on the extent of injury that you had is going to dictate how that's repaired and then, therefore, how that's recovered and rehabbed. So to have a 6-month rehab from a rotator cuff is actually not that long of a time. It can take upwards of 9 months to a year or possibly even more before you're going to reach your maximal improvement. Again, not having been the surgeon who did your surgery, I can't speak specifically as to how many tendons were torn and the exact repair that was performed. But at 6 months to still have a 10-pound lifting ability, that's not outrageously uncommon.
Okay, Robert from Monticello, I can't...
Thank you so much. Thanks. Have a great day.
Thank you very much. Okay, and now Jim from Matamoros. Okay, Jim, make it quick. Go ahead.
What are some of the exercises used in the rehabilitation of rotator cuff repair?
So after a rotator cuff repair, for my first 10 to 12 weeks, I'm going to focus mostly on just motion and make sure that you can get your passive motion back and that your shoulder doesn't get stiff. It takes about that long before the repair I would even consider fully healed to the point that you want to start strength training and resistance training. And at that point, physical therapy actually is what's going to come in the most. Rather than me as the surgeon dictating to you what you should do for your exercises, I kind of hand you off to the therapists because they've specialized in how to rehab these injuries, and they're going to see you far more frequently than I would as the surgeon. But they should start with gentle motion and then some gentle rotator cuff strengthening with elastic bands or some very light weights. The rotator cuff muscles themselves, they're not power-generating muscles. Their primary function is to orchestrate and initiate the motion of the shoulder and to keep the shoulder, the glenohumeral joint, we call it, centered, as the bigger muscles, being the trapezius and the deltoid, generate the power. So you really want to do lightweight, high rep exercises. And under the guidance of physical therapy would be the best way to do that.
Thank you, Jim from Matamoros. Okay, and now on to William in Poughkeepsie, Po-Town. All right, William, you're on.
Hi, good afternoon.
Go.
My wife has been struggling with numbness and pain in her forearms and hand. She's had testing for carpal tunnel. She's done physical therapy. She consulted with a surgeon and that said she had a pinched nerve in her neck. She had neck surgery. She's done lots of PT, acupuncture for thoracic outlet syndrome, and none of this has really given her any relief. It's been ongoing for 2 years, and it comes and goes, but when it gets really bad, she can barely use her hands. It radiates down from her elbow all the way through her hand. Sometimes it's pain, sometimes it's numbness, and nothing she's pursued so far has worked. I was wondering if you had any ideas on other possibilities.
Well, so you said she did have a nerve conduction study done?
Yes, she did.
EMG. And did that confirm that it was a cervical radiculopathy?
That I couldn't tell you offhand, but what I do remember her coming home and she said that it didn't really clear anything up.
Sure.
It didn't explain why she was having the pain.
Yeah. So there's a lot of reasons to have numbness in the hand. It could be coming from the neck, it could be coming from the elbow or from the wrist itself. A nerve conduction study does help narrow that down a little bit. And then one of the other things to really help is which fingers are affected, which fingers go numb or have the pain.
I think it's worst in the pinky and ring, and it gets less as it goes towards the other fingers.
Sure. So if you're describing the ring and the small finger and originating largely from the elbow, that could be a condition which we call cubital tunnel syndrome. So a lot of people have heard of carpal tunnel, and that's compression of a nerve across the wrist. But that typically goes to the thumb, index, and long finger. Cubital tunnel comes from the inboard side of the elbow, and it affects the ulnar nerve. And that can give numbness to the ring and small finger. The corollary to that from the cervical standpoint is that would also coincide with a C8 radiculopathy. Now, spine surgery is outside of my realm of expertise, so when I have patients who fit the picture of possibly a cubital tunnel versus a C8 radiculopathy, I do use the nerve study to help differentiate where that is, as well as a physical exam. So without laying hands on the patient to do a thorough physical exam, That is something to consider, is that it might be a nerve entrapment that's coming from the elbow if she failed to improve with C-spine.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right. And what you said, it was orbital?
No, cubital. C-U-B-I-T-A.
Cubital.
Cubital.
All right. Very good. Thank you. Thanks, I appreciate your help.
Okay. Bye. All right. And now off to, let's see here, Wesley in Ravenna. Okay. Wesley in Ravenna. You're on.
Hello. I was wondering about, when I was reading a few years back about cortisone, if one of the side effects was it would deteriorate the tendons and the bones.
Yes.
And I'm a little worried about that with deteriorated rotator cuff injury and getting those shots.
Sure.
I was wondering what your opinion was on that.
So I personally, I like to use cortisone shots in my clinic. If it's appropriate. So it need a thorough workup to make sure that whether we're dealing with arthritis or rotator cuff tear, rotator cuff tendonitis, or other sort of tendonitis, because everybody thinks of getting a steroid shot in the shoulder, but that's a very nonspecific statement because there's really multiple places within the shoulder that you can get the steroid shot. And for rotator cuff would be a different location than for a biceps tendon, which would be different from the true shoulder joint for arthritis. So in the setting of a rotator cuff tendonitis or a possible tear, the steroid shots can be very beneficial. However, like you alluded to, there is a cumulative effect that can be detrimental to the joints and to the tendons themselves. It can be damaging to the cartilage. If you have arthritis, it can be damaging to the tendon. But this is generally if you receive them too frequently and for too long a period of time. A safe bet is to receive a steroid injection no more frequently than every 4 months. And after about 3 injections, it's time to reconsider whether this is working or not. It's the patients who get repeat injections that go on for years and more frequently than every 3 to 4 months that are going to be at a higher risk for developing these problems.
Wesley, thank you. Okay, 1-800-348-2551. We're going to take a short break. Then we'll be back. We'll talk to Christine and Martha and Teddy and Christine and Javon. But first, a little bit of something else. And we are back on a very popular show. As you see, we move fast. So if you want to get in, now's the time. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. We're here with Dr. Jared Goodrich of Berkshire Health Systems, who's real good at this. And as you can hear, and I think it's important, get online. It could save you a lot of time and maybe money. Let's go to Teddy in Albany. Teddy in Albany. Go, Teddy.
Good afternoon. A few months ago, I developed a trigger finger, middle finger of my left hand. I mentioned it to my orthopedic sports doctor when I was there about something else. He was not very encouraging about treatment possibilities. A friend suggested that I take glucosamine. And my question is there anything I can do about it?
So regarding the glucosamine, I don't have an opinion on that one way or another. I've not heard of glucosamine being used for trigger fingers. That's not to say it can't help. I've heard that for more arthritis-type pictures rather than a trigger finger. For trigger finger, though, assuming that's what it truly is, there are options. Nonsteroidal anti-inflammatories can help. Therapy and bracing may help, but in general, it's either going to get better or it's not.
So, Doc, let me interrupt and ask you what a trigger finger is.
Oh, so trigger finger is when you develop a nodule inside of the flexor tendon, which allows you to bend your finger. And I actually equate trigger finger to a fishing rod. So people who don't fish know what a fishing rod looks like. And the bones of your finger are the fishing rod. And the tendon that bends your finger is the fishing line. And just as a fishing rod has eyelets that keep the fishing line against the rod, your body forms these bands of tissues that we call pulleys that helps keep the tendon against the bone. And trigger finger is you've developed a knot inside that fishing line, and it's getting stuck in the eyelet as it goes back and forth. So the treatments are to either shrink the size of the knot or enlarge the size of the eyelet. And anti-inflammatories and rest can help to decrease the size of the knot. Steroid injections, like we just talked about on the last caller, can be helpful to inject the steroid around the tendon sheath. And that can help to decrease the pain and inflammation and the size of the knot to allow it to glide smoother. And when that fails, surgery is the option. And surgery is performed by a small incision in the palm of your hand, and you just release one of those eyelets that's getting caught. And then you're free to move, and
can you see them?
It doesn't come back.
Can you actually see the eyelets?
Yes, you can. Through the surgery, yes. It's a small, the way I do it is through a small, about 1 centimeter incision overlying the top of it. I find that eyelet and just transect it and allow the nodule to move freely.
Doctor, is there any harm that I'm doing by, in the morning when this, you know, manifests, in kind of working it out, and I kind of have to yank the finger back? It's painful, but then it straightens out. Is there any harm in my doing that?
No, that's actually, it's better to get it straight. If it locks to the point that you can't straighten it out, then surgery is becomes a little more urgent for you. If you have a permanently locked finger, you'll start to develop joint contractures, and that's a difficult problem to address.
Okay.
So long as it's triggering to the point that you're still able to open it and close it, then there's no urgency to the surgery. However, it can be an uncomfortable condition.
Teddy, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Okay. And now we're looking for who's on the most, and hanging on so far is Christine from Palatine Bridge. Christine, you're on. Go ahead. Take it away.
Hi. I'm just looking for information. I have been diagnosed with arthritis in my neck and my thumbs. My thumbs are really painful, very frequently. And I've always had a little bit of psoriasis, and it's come up more and more as I've gotten older. Like, I find lots of little spots on my legs. So I'm wondering if there's a relationship.
So there is a condition called psoriatic arthritis. That it's going to have a very specific wear pattern, and it's going to take imaging and x-rays and a workup to determine whether you have psoriatic arthritis versus just your traditional primary osteoarthritis, which is the wear and tear arthritis that everybody develops as they age. The thumb is a very common place in the hand to develop arthritis, whether it's primary arthritis or rheumatoid arthritis or psoriatic arthritis. But I very frequently see thumb arthritis in my clinic on a daily basis almost.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's not just because you have arthritis, it's not something that you, or psoriasis, it's something you should follow up.
Well, it's worth following up and getting a workup for, but it's just because you have psoriatic changes in your skin does not mean that you have psoriatic arthritis.
Okay.
Thank you, Christine. Appreciate it. All right, and now to Jevon, who's been hanging on for a long time on line number 8. Jevon, you're on.
My question is about my right shoulder. I developed a pain in my right shoulder since last month, and I haven't been to the doctor yet for it, but my job is I do delivery with hand cart, and I've been doing it for like 8 years, and I've been feeling the shoulder pain at night when I lay down. If I don't move for a while, I can feel it. If I stretch my arm out, I feel it. Anything I do, I feel it. If I lay on my side, on my right side, I could feel it. And I also drive tractor trailer, so by driving during the day and the steering wheel and all that, it really hurts. And then my next question, again, my left hand, for the last like 2 years ago, my middle finger just developed this thing where sometimes it just got cold. If it's just chilly outside, that finger just freezing. Like if you put your hand in the freezer and the ice in there and it get really cold, that's how my middle finger feels. And it doesn't have pain or nothing.
Okay. So let's start with the shoulder there. That could be a numerous things. Tendonitis is obviously at the top of the list. The general recommendation is you should get in to see your doctor. If you haven't been there yet, get in to see your doctor to get evaluated. Most shoulder conditions, absent trauma, can be treated with therapy, rest, anti-inflammatory medications. If that fails, then referral to surgeons for maybe injections or advanced imaging is reasonable. But with that, I would start at the beginning and get in to see your doctor, have them put at least a precursory evaluation on you, make sure there's nothing serious going on, and most likely start with some physical therapy. And that could and will most likely give you some improvement. When that fails, then a referral to a subspecialist would be a reasonable thing to do. Regarding the finger, that's a much more difficult thing to answer. There are a couple conditions that will cause your fingers to go cold. Does it change colors, turn purple or white during those episodes?
No, it just gets freezing. It just got cold and just freezing. And if it's really cold outside, it is more, I feel the coldness in it more than the rest of my hands or rest of my other fingers.
Mm-hmm. So that's a difficult thing for me to answer on the phone without doing an evaluation on you. Vascular problems can cause that numbness, which would need a workup. Also, just things like we talked about earlier with carpal tunnel, numbness can be perceived as a cold sensation, so it could be something like that as well. But that's a much more difficult thing to answer just on the phone without doing an evaluation on you.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Javon. Okay, 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Now, we only have three people hanging on right now. That's the shortest line you'll be in. Only talks a couple of seconds. Again, 1-800-348-2551. Let's go to, Christine in Elka Park, New York. All right, Christine, your turn. Go ahead.
I have a small round growth on the ring finger below the finger on the palm side of the knuckle. It's probably a ganglion cyst. And my question is, do you think so too? And does it need to be treated? Should I wait for it to resolve by itself? What should I do?
Sure. So this is on the palm side of your ring finger?
Yes.
Is that what you said? And at the base of the finger?
It's below the base of the finger in the upper third of the hand, palm.
Is it tender to touch, and is it painful?
It hasn't been for a long time, but now that I'm aware of it, it seems to be slightly growing, slightly tender.
Sure. That, again, it's going to be tough to answer. There are several things that can cause masses on the front of the palm side of your hand, and they range anywhere from, you refer to a ganglion. That's kind of a generic term to describe a cyst, but there are cysts that can form, whether it's a ganglion cyst or what we call a retinacular cyst. Those retinacular cysts can be a little bit painful because it's a lot of fluid under pressure that can be painful to touch. Ganglions in and of themselves generally are not, but then there are other masses that are benign things like a Dupuytren nodule. The differential, the laundry list of things that could be causing a mass on the palm of your hand, though, is rather large. And that's also something that would probably be easily determined with a physical exam, but without a picture, without seeing it, it's kind of hard to say what that would be. I would not get too alarmed, but getting in to see a hand specialist is a reasonable thing.
And how much is it important that I do it soon, or can I wait a couple of weeks?
Oh, you can certainly wait. You can certainly wait
okay.
a couple of weeks, yes.
Thank you, Christine. Appreciate it. All right, and now we're going to go to Julie in Huguenot. All right, Julie is on. Go ahead, Julie.
Yes, I did hear you talk about trigger finger. I have a toddler.
Okay.
She's two, and she has it, I'm sure, because I've had it before. Her finger does relax at times. I do try to massage it, but it is painful to her. So I was just wondering, I did hear you recommend, steroids or doing some other things before surgery. But I just would like to know, with the toddler, would she grow out of it? Or, you wouldn't know that, I guess, but... what do you think is the best route to go with a child?
Which finger is it?
It's her thumb.
Her thumb. Okay. So when it comes to the thumb in toddlers, so if it is a trigger finger or a trigger thumb, yes, toddlers and young children do have the ability to grow out of it, so long as they're still able to move the finger. However, when it comes to the thumb, there are other conditions that can mimic a trigger thumb. It can be in a congenital absence of one of the tendons that allows you to extend your thumb. And then there's another one called a congenital collapsed thumb. So there are other conditions that can mimic a trigger thumb. So had you said any other finger, my answer would be a little bit different. But when it is the thumb, there are other things that you should make sure it is not. But as general, in general, I don't do steroid injections for toddlers and young children. So a steroid injection for a trigger finger would be reserved for adults. In children, I will give them a period of time to see if they get better. And then if they do not, I would then progress on to surgery for them because they are continuing to grow and develop, and they need full motion and function of their hand while that development happens.
Okay. Should I take her to, like, a regular pediatrician or to, like, a specialist to see about it?
A pediatrician to then get a referral to even myself or an orthopedic hand specialist is very reasonable. Pediatric trigger finger is a very common condition. And only if one of those other conditions is detected would a referral to a sub specialist even be warranted.
Okay, Julie, thank you. All right, now let's see. Oh yeah, now we're gonna go visit with James in Cambridge, New York. James, you're on.
Good afternoon. I've got a very simple question for you. A little background first. I had an injury back in 2012 to my right shoulder, and I declined at that time to have surgery because I wanted to continue to work. Now, 6 years plus later, it's giving me a lot of problems, and I wanted to have the surgery, and the insurance company is telling me that I need to prove when the injury occurred. They think that maybe during that six-year period, something else may have happened to mitigate the injury. Right. So how do I and I've had a CAT scan specifically to determine the date of the injury. That was essentially negative because they said nothing has changed from 2012. So how do I prove that?
I don't know that I'm going to have an answer for that one. Even with all the imaging abilities that we have with MRIs and CAT scans, it's virtually impossible to say when an injury occurred. We can tell you sometimes with a degree of certainty whether it's an acute injury or a chronic injury based on things, based on changes that we see within muscles or tendons. But to pinpoint a date to say this happened, you know, 2 years ago, 6 years ago, 12 years ago is almost impossible if nothing had been done or documented at the time of injury.
Okay, James.
Well, it was my attorney who suggested that I go get a CAT scan to do just that, to prove it. I kind of questioned that, thinking the same thing that you just suggested. It's impossible to tell, but what at this point could I possibly do to appease the insurance company?
I don't know that I have an answer for that, unfortunately. It's very important at the time of injury to at least be evaluated and have things documented so that in a workman's comp type scenario, you can show that you were injured, you sustained an injury, and document the time of injury. Once that...
Well, that has been done. I did... That was... Everything was documented. As a matter of fact, for the first 6 months, the insurance company was paying the bills to the orthopedic surgeons for treatment for my right shoulder. But now, 6 years later, they're denying it.
Yeah, the legal aspects of workman's comp is a little beyond what I can, is beyond my scope. But all I can say is with any imaging you do today or any studies you have done today, it'll be very difficult to pinpoint a date of injury.
Thank you, James. All right. 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Jim and Saugerties. Jim, we got to make this one short because we're coming up against the break. Go ahead, Jim.
Oh, good luck. I'll try to keep it short. My doctors have diagnosed me with tennis elbow in both elbows. However, I don't play tennis. I haven't had any injuries or accidents or anything like that. But the pain is so bad that it keeps me awake at night.
Okay. So tennis elbow, really, it's an eponym that we use to describe lateral epicondylitis, which is just a chronic inflammatory condition of the muscles that help to extend your wrist and your fingers.
Right.
Most frequently not seen in tennis players, actually.
Okay.
It can be a very difficult thing to treat, and it can be done with anti-inflammatories, with physical therapy. There's bracing and straps that can be used. The natural history of the disease or of the condition, though, is a lengthy one. It's drawn out and can take a year or more to get better. Some doctors will incorporate steroid injections for lateral epicondylitis or the tennis elbow. I personally do not. I think that long-term results are equivalent whether you inject or don't inject. So my preference is to not expose somebody to the discomfort of the steroid injection, knowing that we just need to let this run its course.
Well, I'm glad you said that because I'm not accepting injections anyway.
Yeah. And there are surgeries. There is surgery for it as well.
I've done PT. I've done acupuncture. And nothing's been helping.
Sure.
But to hear you say that it could take a year to resolve, that makes me feel a little bit better because I'm 6 months in now.
Yes.
Okay, Jim from Sardis.
I'll just have to be a little more patient.
Jim, thank you. We've got to take a break.
Thank you
very much. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back. And we are back with the wonderful Dr. Jared Goodrich of Berkshire Health Systems. He's an expert on upper body stuff like your hand or your shoulder. Doc, we got a lot of people on the phone, but quite frequently people sleep the wrong way and then get shoulder aches, right?
They do.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And then with shoulder pain, a lot of people will complain that sleeping is very difficult for them.
Right. So it's an endless circle.
It is.
Okay. Now we're going to go, let's see, I'm examining all of the evidence, to Mark in Stone Ridge. All right, Mark in Stone Ridge, go ahead.
Hello, it's Mark. Thank you very much for this program. I'd like to bring up the topic of severe bone loss.
Osteoporosis.
And I'd like to know if there's joint replacements for people who have severe bone loss.
There are. Is there any joint in particular you're referring to?
Mark, did you hear?
No, I'm sorry.
Is there any joint in particular that you're referring to?
I'm talking about the right shoulder.
Yes, so you can get, people with severe osteoporosis can get joint replacements. Certain joints will do better than others with when you have severe osteoporosis. But a shoulder replacement in osteoporosis is a reasonable thing to get, yes. It does put you at increased risk for failure because you have a higher risk of fracturing in and around the prostheses that we put in, but it is an option.
Okay.
Thank you, Mark. Okay, we'll go to Nicole in Winchendon, Massachusetts, on line number 6. You're on. Go ahead, Nicole.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I had a question about, I'm getting numbness in my fingertips, on my first and second finger. Sometimes it turns completely white. I'm a puppeteer, and I can't use these for a while. I try to exercise, but sometimes it lasts up to a half an hour. Is there anything I can do to help this?
Is it the numbness that lasts for the hours, or the turning white?
The white and just the uncomfortables. It's like I can't feel it, and I've noticed. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, it's the end of my finger is completely white.
And do you happen to notice? Does it change with exposure to cold temperatures?
Yes, a lot of it has to do with that, and sometimes it's gloves don't help. I'm extremely uncomfortable. Sometimes it happens when I'm not in cold, like in the summer.
Right. So that could be a couple of things. Again, we alluded to this a little bit earlier. If your finger goes white and turns colors with cold exposure, then a vascular problem is what would be possibly concerned about with a Raynaud's syndrome or something like that, which is a vascular spasm which causes the blood supply to the finger to be diminished and then it becomes white and cold. If it doesn't occur with cold exposure, meaning it just happens throughout the day, there are other conditions, and the numbness could just be something as simple as a carpal tunnel syndrome. If you are a puppeteer and putting your hands into odd or awkward positions while you're doing that, that could contribute to compression of the nerve that could give you numbness and tingling to the fingers. Neither one of which needs urgent intervention, but if it's bothering you on a vocational level or recreational level, then seeking medical attention from initiating with your primary care doctor is a very reasonable thing to do. But therapy can help, anti-inflammatories can help, but the big thing would be to make sure that this is or is not a vascular issue.
Hey, Nicole, we're really backed up. I thank you for your call. 1-800-348-2551, but your chances of getting in right now are not that good. I'll let you know when it looks a little bit freer. Okay, so we'll go to Al in Kingston on line number 7. Al in Kingston, you're on.
Hi. I have a question, a couple questions, one about my neck and shoulder and one about the hand.
Okay.
So I had a couple of injuries in both of my shoulders. So they're weakened, and I noticed that when I'm walking or maybe carrying a backpack, for a little while that my neck and just below my neck causes a lot of pain, and then it gives me a headache.
Okay. That's most likely just a muscle spasms, but it could be cervical problems, and cervical issues can cause shoulder pain and upper trapezial pain, and that falls outside of the orthopedic musculoskeletal shoulder. So that's something that could be evaluated there. The shoulder itself generally wouldn't cause that type of a symptom.
Okay. And so in terms of my hand, I have both hands, some hand weakness I notice, and wrists, I know, and a lot of flexibility in it. But recently I noticed that it's difficult to open soda bottles.
Mm-hmm.
So I was wondering, I thought that it was on tight until I asked somebody else, two different people, and they opened it up really easily. So I was seeing that the problem was worse. I know it's better when I do yoga, but I still I don't know what the issue is. Is it a gripping issue, or what I should do to try to work on that?
Is it, are you having pain, or is it just the weakness?
It can hurt, not necessarily. Yes, I would say, yeah, I could tell that, it can hurt. Because, for example, I used to be able to do a back bend, and now if I do the back bend, I can feel the pressure on my hands and from doing that.
So,
I can't, support it.
Is the pain in your thumb?
Cause and it can hurt.
Thumb base arthritis is very problematic, especially when people will say opening a jar. Anytime they go to pinch or carry something, that they'll have pain in the base of their thumb, and then that pain will cause some weakness, and they will have difficulty doing that. Other true weakness, especially if you're talking about your neck, there are nerves that come from your neck down into your hand that give you grip strength. So knowing that you've also talked about having this what we call periscapular or pericervical pain and spasm that gives you the headache, it's possible that all of this is related and coming from the neck rather than the hand or the arm itself.
Say, Al, we gotta let you go. Thank you very much. We'll go now to Joni in Franklin. All right, Joni in Franklin, you're on. Or is it Joanne?
It's Joanne.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Joanne. Go ahead.
That's okay. When I first heard you on the radio, I didn't realize your specialty was more arm, shoulder, hand. But my problem has to do with my hip. It started out, I had some knee pain. I went to an orthopedist. I had x-ray and all that. He said not much there, little arthritis. Then my hip started to drive me crazy, and the pain started to radiate down the front of my thigh like a burning coldness. Mm-hmm. And then the knee got so tight, and I'm limping like mad. And then I was told, I know I'm talking fast, that it was thought that I had vascular issue because I had an ultrasound to check that. It was about 70 to 80%. So I went ahead and saw a vascular surgeon, put a stent in. I was not one iota better. So now I'm going to chiropractic, pain management, and I'm going to start physical therapy. But the pain management doctor had given me two shots already, one in the L5S1, L4-5, and now wants to do an L3-4, and has talked about a Superion spacer. So I've been told from someone, one of them, sciatica, another, the spondylolisthesis, mm-hmm. And also maybe I have an IT band syndrome.
Okay.
What's
wow.
your thought?
All of that sounds reasonable, especially
horses, don't they?
Yes, and when you talk about referred pain like that, obviously we do look towards the back, because the back is going to give you mm-hmm. referred and radicular pain down your leg. On the flip side of that, though, hip arthritis can cause knee pain. The way the nerves run across the front of the hip, when you have an inflamed joint from the arthritis, it can inflame that nerve and give you pain that's perceived on the inboard side of your knee. So you have, once again, a condition that has a differential list that's, you know, anywhere from 6 to 10 conditions could be on that list as to what's causing your pain. And the main thing to do is start at the top and work your way through it. You try one thing. If it gets better, great. If it doesn't, you move on to the next thing. And you try and work your way down until you can truly isolate where the condition is coming from.
Thanks, Joanne. Okay. Now we're going to go to AJ in Catskill. Yep. AJ in Catskill. You're on.
AJ. Hi, yes. Thanks for taking my call. I just have a really quick question about a reoccurring shoulder injury that I get. It's really minor, but when I do exercises, specifically pull-ups, every like couple of months, I'll end up like it feels like I'm pinching a nerve on either the left or the right side where my shoulder blade is. And it's really annoying because I have to take like a week or two off from my exercise just to kind of recover from it. And the pain is so bad, it shoots up my neck. So I just wonder if there's anything I can do to kind of prevent that kind of injury going forward.
Ooh, if it is truly coming from the neck, again, that would be outside of my realm. Coming from the shoulder itself, it's really one of those activity-related you can perform your activity as your pain will tolerate. So if you're doing an activity and it bothers you, you're not ready for it. You need to start lower, lighter weights, higher reps, and build back up to it. That periscapular pain that's kind of on, is it on the inboard side towards your spine of your shoulder blades?
It's more like located like right directly underneath the shoulder blade. And I mean, I can do pull-ups pretty well. I do 3 sets of 10. So mm-hmm. I don't know if it's just something where if I'm just pushing myself too hard or if I should just change exercises.
It could be, and it could be this thing that we call scapular dyskinesia, which just means the scapula, the wing bone, is not moving in the right timing or sequence as it should compared to the shoulder joint itself. And sometimes biofeedback and physical therapy can help to coordinate those motions a little bit. Again, this is speculation, not seeing how your shoulder actually moves, but that is something to consider as well.
AJ, we're just trying to keep up with everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, now we're going to go to Brady in Saugerties. All right, Brady, we're moving along as fast as we can. Go ahead.
Hi, yeah, I just have a quick question. I'm a musician. I'm a drummer, and my hands and arms are subject to a lot of, like, impact, basically, almost every day. So I'm just wondering, like, what can I do to basically keep my hands healthy and, you know, arthritis and tendonitis free?
Stretching and staying active is going to be the thing. When you're exposed to the prolonged vibration, the vibration is damaging. It's damaging to joints. It's damaging to tendons. As long as you kind of stay at it and stay fit and stay active with those activities, you should be okay. Anti-inflammatories can be helpful if you do develop some mild problems. And then if you do develop the tendonitis or an arthritis, just let it rest. Let it rest and then ramp back up into it. But with arthritis, it's kind of hard to prevent unless you avoid the things that are going to cause it.
Thank you, Brady. Okay, and now on to Kevin in Albany. Kevin, your turn. Go.
Hi, Doc. I have a question. I broke my finger about 3 months ago. It was a spiral fracture, and now I've been to hand therapy and followed two orthopedics, said that it should heal just fine. But what happened is the second knuckle in is, it seems like that tendon is very weak, and the tip of my finger just kind of hangs there now. Mm-hmm. So I think the tendon is atrophied, and also the knuckle on the left side of that far knuckle, towards my pinky, that knuckle, there's a pain there. So I didn't know if you had any input on that.
Was it fixed surgically or just splinted and casted?
No, it was splinted.
Splinted and casted. So finger fractures are a difficult thing to deal with because you have to immobilize the fracture to allow it to heal. But the immobilization to allow fracture healing also causes the tendons to become adhesed or scarred into place. I wouldn't be worried about the tendon being atrophied. But what's going to happen is the inflammatory and the healing phase or the healing response of the fracture healing is going to cause the tendon to become stuck. So if the tendon is not allowed to glide and move during the healing phase, you can get tendon adhesions, which will be perceived as inability to straighten or bend. And again, it's a balancing act because you need the bone to heal, but at the same time, you don't want the tendons to get stuck. So that hand therapists and occupational therapists are critical. They're crucial in the rehab of something like that. If you get several months out from this type of an injury and you can't move the finger or it's not moving fully, then you might be
it's
looking...
It's fully functional. Fully functional. My worry is in the future moving on is because it's not... it's obviously it's a little bit weaker, but I do have full mobility in it.
Then it should get better with time. You were only, you said 3 months out, correct?
I'm 3 months out, correct.
3 months out. So
it's just, I worry about that pain on the outside because that feels like there's almost like a tendon caught on the outside. And then, like I said, the tip, that last knuckle, it's almost just hanging there. I can barely like move that. I don't get much movement out of that.
I wonder if you sustained a tendon injury at the time that you broke your finger, because that could contribute as to why you can't extend the finger fully at that. You're saying it's droopy, so that you might have had a tendon injury at the same time, and that should be evaluated by your orthopedist.
Okay, thank you, Kevin. Oh. And now on to Tom in Mayfield. Tom, you got to be quick because we're really running out of time here. Go ahead. Tom, are you there, Tom? Well, I'm sorry to hear that because we don't hear you and we're very upset. All right, let's go to Jim in North Pownell. Okay, Jim, again, we got to move fast. Go ahead.
Alan.
Yeah.
Great, great, great show.
Thank you, Jim. And thanks.
And
to
that's all there is to it. I'm out of here.
Okay. Thank you, Jim. Appreciate it. All right. Now, let's go to, we're making time here. Let's go to Christine in Pittsfield, your home base there, Doc.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. Make it really brief. I do have health insurance. I'm wondering if the doctor is taking new patients and if you have to have a primary care physician in order to see this hand specialist. I have nodules on my fingers that are not painful. Not sure if it's rheumatoid arthritis. I wondered if you could just differentiate between rheumatoid and ortho. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm seeing new patients.
And we only got seconds.
You can call up to schedule your primary care. That's dependent on your insurance company, but I would be more than happy to see you if you would call up the clinic.
And what is your phone number there? Do you know? No.
Don't worry.
But just call Berkshire Health Center, right?
Yes.
And ask for Dr. Jared Goodrich, okay? Thank you very much, Christine.
Thank you.
You got your answer. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. I got to apologize to Betty from Kingston, who cut her tendon in her index finger, and Debbie from Woodstock, who was Dupuytren's syndrome. Did I mispronounce that?
Dupuytren's
syndrome. Sorry, guys. Next time, a little earlier. We are so sorry, but we are out of time. Underwriting support for Medical Monday comes from WMC Heart and Vascular Institute with new diagnostic cardiology suites at Mid-Hudson Regional Hospital and Health Alliance Hospitals, members of the Westchester Medical Center Health Network, WMCHealth.org. Thanks again for joining us on the Vox Pop, everybody. Our engineer has been the incomparable Zach Baloy. Your calls were answered by the long-suffering Joe Makowitz. Our producer is Jim Lavoulis. I'm Alan Chartok. Stay tuned now for a news update.